Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. As was said in the previous broadcast, the gifts of the Spirit are as important to the functioning of the body of Christ as are the fruits of the Spirit. For the benefit of the body of Christ and even the world around us, let us learn to handle our gifting with integrity, self-control, and kindness for sure. You know, Paul wasn't joking when he said if we don't have love, which governs our gifting, we truly are just clanging and banging around. Maybe even as obnoxious as someone beating on a pan with a spoon. After a while, the noise is just, well, irritating. Some folks seem to have trouble believing in the Holy Spirit. Honestly, I don't know why. He's right there in Scripture for anyone who wants to see. Maybe what clouds their vision so they don't recognize the Holy Spirit is just a bad case of don't want to. I mean, if God wants to baptize someone in the Holy Spirit and you don't believe that he does those things anymore, what is it to you if he wants to do that? If most of us are honest, though, we can probably relate to that concerning many things of the Lord. It's just our own heart full of don't want to, which prevents us. And that's just being honest.
Clear-eyed insight.
Among many important ministries of the Holy Spirit is his presenting and granting spiritual gifts to us. We all have natural abilities even before we give our lives to Christ, but I think spiritual gifts are related to the special purposes of the Lord. They are more than just common abilities we can develop by going to the gym or reading books. Spiritual gifts are more. The Lord not only knew us before we were born, but he also had plans for each of us prior to us being here. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his poetry, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We walk in our calling for the building up of the church. The entire idea of practicing our gifts and gaining a proficiency is to encourage and strengthen those around us. The Lord often reminds me of 1 Corinthians 14:12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Now that's a good one to keep in mind. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, cool jazz and contemplative conversation, hopefully inspiring us all to think and be diligent to consider the things of the Lord carefully, never being glib with his words or indifferent about his values, preferences, and standards. We are discussing the Holy Spirit gift of the word of knowledge this evening. The gift is shimmers of dancing light on hearts with ears to hear. Isn't that beautiful? Shimmers of dancing light on hearts with ears to hear. It's not just getting knowledge from a book. This is over and above what we get from school or college. This is knowledge the Lord gives to us. And oh, what a balance we need to strike on this.
Clear-eyed insight.
So many people want to know something special because they don't feel anyone can see or hear them. And they figure if they know something, even if only just a little something, then for a moment or two, they'll get some recognition which validates them. Now let's have a little mercy here, because everyone needs to be validated and needs to know they aren't invisible. But if we're going to employ our Holy Spirit gift of the word of knowledge,
clear-eyed insight,
it will be most effective when it builds up the body of Christ from humility and surrender. And actually, all the gifts are for the building up of the body of Christ and the advancement of the kingdom. In light of that, let's make room for people to learn to do this, which means we can't get our whipping sticks out to beat someone when they get it wrong. The only thing people learn from getting beat on is to just don't do that. Have a little mercy for others and for yourselves, too, while you're learning. Okay, so, onward and upward. Stay with me, and I'll be right back. Knowledge? That may seem like a silly question, but you'd be surprised at the number of people who use words, all kinds of seemingly simple, regular, everyday words, without much more than an inkling of what they mean.
What's that mean?
We use many words to make ourselves appear groomed with an air of worldly wisdom. Yet the truth is many are ignoring the true complexities of things. Those intelligent-sounding words we use often have huge, sweeping implications, and sometimes they are words which are only truly effective when they cut both ways. We love to use words like grace and glibly say it means unmerited favor, but the truth is, that is a God word which represents a value of His heart, and His definition is so, so very much larger and richer than just merely undeserved favor.
Bigger, much bigger.
Knowledge, according to the dictionary, is facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. Some places say it is the theoretical or practical understanding of a subject. But I believe having the knowledge of God is a great deal more than simply possessing facts and information. It involves employing six adverbs: who, what, where, when, how, and why.
Clear-eyed insight.
We gain knowledge by the use of all our senses. Through touch, taste, feeling, sight, and smell, we gather information of ourselves, other people, and the world around us. A man goes to the zoo and sees and smells a tiger. He reads in a book that the same tiger would likely kill him in the wild. One day, on a walk through the jungle near his house, he smells the same thing he smelled at the zoo when he was near the tiger, and he hears the same low growling. The information in his head is a match for what is happening where he is, and his conclusion is, a tiger is near. That is knowledge. Now, actually getting his legs in gear to run away is understanding, or connecting the dots to conclude that he needs to leave that place. And hopefully, he'll be smart enough to employ that understanding and live to see tomorrow. Having knowledge includes
the ability to distinguish,
like at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After Adam and Eve ate, they possessed the knowledge of right and wrong and were able to distinguish between the two. More than simply acknowledging good and evil existing, but actually being able to distinguish between the two. Mankind is the only creature on Earth who is able to have a conversation while maintaining an agenda, and I believe we all rarely interact with others without actually having a purpose on some level. We all have an objective awareness of all things, both good and bad. That is a kind of knowledge. If you tell me you have a friend, I tend to automatically assume you have some knowledge about that person's life and their values. A friend is more than an associate and more than an acquaintance. Having a friend requires knowledge, and by that I don't mean a few crumbs of information, but a knowledge of who they are because we spent time with that person to know them. When I say God knows me, that is saying the Lord has gathered facts and information about me. He recognizes me. Oddly, so many believers say they have knowledge of God. They say they know Him, yet often can't tell of His attributes. Or they use large words to describe Him, but don't really grasp what those words mean. Not to mention having a very wrong perception concerning His what, how, and why. Friends, we have twisted ideas about God, which require some serious untwisting. Hosea 4, verse 1 says that the Lord has a contention with people and the land they live in where there is no knowledge of God. And where there is no knowledge of God, there is swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery, breaking all agreements at a whim, and being comfortable with betrayal as a lifestyle. Man, we've got all that going on in spades these days. On the contrary, those who have knowledge of God confess and obey Him, and it is far from them for those things to be a lifestyle. From Jeremiah 22:15-16, doing justice and righteousness and judging the cause of the poor and the needy is to know God. So that raises the question as it pertains to having the Holy Spirit gift of a word of knowledge. If in giving the word of knowledge, if the Lord didn't tell you to tell it and you spun it out there all on your own, John 7:18 is quite pointed. Whose glory are you looking to gain? If the Lord didn't say to speak those words, have the courage to ask yourself the question, why are you speaking then? Those words of knowledge the Lord gave you are powerful and have weight, and if He didn't tell you to share them, then for whom are you sharing them? Francie Lynch wrote, "I know, you know. I know you know. You know, I know, you know. We're very knowledgeable with what we know. You know, I know." Just a clever little poem. Also something to consider. There are people who may seem to have a word of knowledge, but they got their knowledge from the wrong place. Like when Adam told the Lord that they were naked in Genesis 3:10, and in verse 11, God asked back, "Who told you that?" In other words, where'd you get your information? I'm only saying this not at all to cause suspicion, but to encourage everyone to learn to hear the weight of the words of the Lord, learning the difference of words with weight and words with no weight. People who get their information from someone other than the Lord were called in the Old Testament fortune tellers, familiar spirits, sorcerers, witches, and wizards, which being feminine as relating to knowledge, and wizard being the masculine as relating to wisdom.
Clear-eyed insight.
All those labels have a root Hebrew word in common, literally meaning to know. They knew stuff and had visions. They trafficked in knowledge not available to the ordinary person. I got the opportunity to ask a well-seasoned man of God just how did modern-day fortune tellers who had a reputation for being correct, how was it they operated? Because I thought those sorts of gifts only functioned with the righteous. He said, he believed everyone was born with gifts and some people are born with a prophetic gift. They just use it for the wrong team. Sometimes knowledgeably, sometimes not. Acts 16 is a great example. The slave girl got her information from someone other than the Lord, and her constant declarations annoyed Paul greatly. I can testify to the same thing. I've met people here and there who have had an unclean spirit which prophesied, and it just grated on my spiritual nerves, so to speak. Funny how many people just cheer and clap their hands, not discerning the true source of the word of knowledge in that case.
Learn to weigh the words.
Learn to be responsible for your gift and your actions. If I have a word of knowledge for someone, it is my responsibility to weigh it out. Is it of the Lord or not? And if it is, did the Lord say to tell it? Here is a three-point guideline I use. 1. Did God speak to me? And I mean no fooling around now, no pretending. They are the words of God Almighty, so take it with all weight and responsibility. 2. What exactly did he say? With no embellishments on our part, okay? And 3, what are you gonna do about it? We all hear lots of things, but it is still our responsibility to search it out before opening our mouth. Years ago, I knew a fellow. No, Tony, it wasn't me, thank you, Lord. Who said he believed the Lord gave him a word of knowledge, telling him to go to a paraplegic, pull him up from his wheelchair, and command him to be healed and walk in the name of Jesus. With an auditorium of people watching, he walked up to the man in the wheelchair, pulled him upright, and in a loud voice yelled, "Be healed! Stand up and walk in the name of Jesus!" Uh-oh. When he let go, the man just pitifully crumpled on the floor like a rag doll. He said he was so embarrassed, he just walked straight out of the building, got in his car, and immediately drove away. He said he even moved out of town. Years later, the Lord came and dug him out of his hiding place and healed his wounds. Afterwards, he really grasped God's point of taking care of where he got his information.
clear-eyed insight.
If someone says they have a word for you and it doesn't seem to fit anywhere that you know, don't aggressively throw it out and contemptuously sneer, but be warm, non-condemning, and put it on the back burner for another time. You can do this, church. Everyone can learn to listen and weigh, smile and be kind. If it really is the word of the Lord, God is really good about bringing those sorts of things back to our remembrance when the time is right. And in case the person giving you the word of knowledge is not even in the ballpark, remember, everyone with gifts of the Spirit is going to need to practice. They're going to have to practice everything from leadership to prophecy, from healing to helping. And it takes time to learn. Let us extend patience as it is from those more mature in their walk and gifting. Let us build bridges instead of widening the chasm. We who are older, let's exercise a little grace with those who are trying their wings. Consider John 7:18. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of him who sent him is true, and to him there is no falsehood. Knowledge is a gift from the Lord, and if God didn't give it, we wouldn't get it. The Lord alone opens the windows of knowledge to us. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says that Jesus himself is the power and wisdom of God. Proverbs 2, verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth came knowledge and understanding." Ecclesiastes 1:18 says that much wisdom is much vexation, and the more knowledge, the more sorrow. Maybe this is the origin of the saying, ignorance is bliss. I can see why the writer of Ecclesiastes 1:18 wrote this. The more wisdom we get, the more we realize how little wisdom we've actually got. And the more knowledge God gives us, the more we realize how little we actually know. Anytime horizons are broadened and our narrow view of things is stretched, the realization of the bigger picture challenges our concept of everything, and it can be pretty uncomfortable. The more we know of people's lives, including our own, the more insight, facts, and information accumulates within us. We gradually know more and more about the intersection of actions and circumstances, along with joy-filled miracles and revelations. There's also a sad realization caused by the increasing knowledge of the incomplete and unsatisfactory attributes of human life.
Clear-Eyed Insight.
With more knowledge from the Lord, yes, it is a joy, but we also become more and more aware of our own ignorance and inability to prevent evil from happening. Nor can we remedy even the smallest uncontrollable, sorrowful thing of this world when left to ourselves. When we hear the Lord correctly, and He gives us a word of knowledge for someone, be it words or a vision, how we give it to them is probably every bit as important as what we give them. Because I've been obnoxious at times in giving a word of knowledge, I'm pretty sure the Lord turned off the flow of my gift for a while until I got my attitude in line with His. Many years ago, I saw giving words of knowledge like playing a parlor game of, "What's my line?" Or, "I know stuff about you that will amaze you and your friends. Aren't I amazing?" What I was doing wasn't for them. It was for me, so I would be greater than I was. Once again, John 7:18. The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory, but the one who seeks the glory of Him who sent him is true, and in Him there is no falsehood. Today, after my arrogance has been pretty well smashed due to repetitive failure and the realization of my wrong motives, I've learned to give what I've got, and only what I've got, with all kindness and grace. I've learned to smile and be oh so gentle, especially with corrections, putting them in such a way so as to cast it all in a positive light in order that it sounds more like something the person would want to do instead of pointing out how much they missed the mark. Please hear me on this, those of you who feel you are called to give others a hard word. Please listen. In Genesis 9, Noah was drunk. It was bad that he was drunk and naked, but it was worse that Ham pointed it out. As example, we can't condemn someone into being more righteous. We can't choke goodness out of people. It just doesn't work that way. We want to lift people up, not beat them down. And we can learn to even say negative things in a positive light. Oh, yes, we can. If I can do it, you can do it. I've learned to talk softly and be very careful with people's feelings and perspectives, having some respect for the person which the word of knowledge is for. If anyone has gotten good at seeing people's details, just through observance we can surmise many things which are probably correct. But if the Lord didn't give you His words which weigh differently than our own observations, then what we're giving people, calling it a word of knowledge, really only amounts to a well-informed opinion, while tagging it as God said. And personal opinions of right and wrong are not what we want to give away. Maybe our personal opinions of right and wrong are too uneven to pass out. Maybe they're even technically correct. I don't know. I just know they are no more than they are. Opinions.
Shut your mouth.
We need God's opinion of things far above our own.
When I have an opinion, it's hard to hear God.
Our personal opinions are unqualified to pass out as a standard. Giving my personal opinion of right and wrong is like a judge who doesn't understand the laws of the land and is really unfit to judge issues which come before the bench. Be kind, be gentle with the bride of Christ, speaking softly to her. Even when the Lord gives you correction for her, be kind and put it in such a way as to help, not hinder. Remember, we are building bridges, not widening the chasm. Proverbs 19:2 implies that a mistaken opinion is without knowledge.
Boom.
Remember, you who practice the gift of a word of knowledge, you are speaking as the oracles of God. The Lord is giving you His words which represent Him, His values, and His heart. Oh, and how often does our perspective of God come out in how we reflect His words to others? If we see the Lord as a harsh taskmaster who always looks like a terrible storm just waiting to happen, our words of knowledge will probably come across that way. A mistaken opinion is an opinion without knowledge. Consider carefully. How often does your perspective of God come out in how you reflect His words to others? Love overlays all God does, so let love overlay all we do. Samuel 2:3. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed.
When I have an opinion, it's hard to hear God.
And Job 37:16. Do you know the balancings of the clouds? The wondrous works of Him who is perfect in knowledge. This means the Lord is the author of knowledge, including the Holy Spirit gift of a word of knowledge. One God, His words. Friends, let all things be done for building up. When you come together, yes, bring your gifts. Each one has a song, a teaching, clear-eyed insight, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let us practice what God has given us, and the rest of us should have grace and mercy for those who are spreading their wings. The word of knowledge is for the strengthening of our structure of faith in Christ, for our comfort and courage to draw near to the Lord. Your well-placed word of knowledge is also to ease the grief and weariness of those who are exhausted in the heat of transition.
Word of knowledge.
Hear this. A well-placed word of knowledge illuminates the beauty of the other person's heart, coming in soft shimmers of dancing light, causing even those beyond our touch to sigh, longing for the Lord. It sets eternal visions in motion for a stranded heart which may be at a distance, desperately longing for a breeze. The word of knowledge is a little morning light upon the hope of dreams. It causes us to dream of the Lord, calling to us from a balcony above fragrant paths among flowers and shade trees. Can you see it? The gift of a word of knowledge is so much more than just telling someone stuff. With that word, the Holy Spirit plays across our spirit in the moment like gentle fingers on a smooth surface. God fingers rustling against our hearts to wake us up. It's a candle of hope flickering in a window in the evening. It ripples the still water of our soul like the glow following the walking pace of a moonlight sonata. With gentle showers of rain, he comes to us, and we will never forget the press of his presence when a word of knowledge, in the right time and place, is given. In the moment, in the resonance of the given word, he calls to us to dream, believe, and imagine, to see what we see, and then see again. God floods us with his affection. I was at a dinner, and an older woman whom I'd never met walked up and said hello.
Listen.
As fast as could possibly be, in my mind was instant knowledge. It was as if I had known her for years. I knew where she used to live. I had a mental picture of her house right down to the plants in front. I even saw the loop of the driveway at the front door as if I'd been there dozens of times. I knew her name, how old she was, the name of her son, and even the physical pain she was in. In the moment, I wasn't even aware God had given me something. Bam! The information was just there. I was absolutely sure I knew her, but yet she assured me we had never met.
Come up here.
I was a bit baffled because I was so sure we'd met years ago. As I began to describe the area of the house, the town, state, and even the name of her son, God showed up and the room filled with the fragrance of grapes. This was no parlor game. It was an incredible, life-changing moment. I didn't have to read her face. I hadn't secretly gathered details from anyone who knew her. I didn't sneak around to talk to any of her family for information, all so I could impress anyone standing there with all my knowing. The information was just there. I didn't go get it. God gave it. And it was a great testimony to her that the Lord is with her wherever she goes, and he will never leave her and never forsake her.
Clear-eyed insight.
The word of knowledge doesn't come from some reservoir we just tap into when we want. Are you willing to ask him for something like a word of knowledge? With the gift comes responsibility to give as he gives, with a heart which reflects his heart. Ask the Lord, take a chance with God, and spread your wings to fly. Think about it.
Love, 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 love
any single one of us has what it takes to make the local body as a whole function as it should. That is a God-orchestrated thing, and He prompts each person to play their part. The days of the standalone servant of God who stands alone at the pinnacle of a ministry in all their glory, I fully believe those days are done. The Lord has changed direction, and I believe He's calling all of us to operate as a team. Fire is teamwork. Let me say that again. Fire is teamwork. It is us acting together as a unit. Not any single person can know all there is needed to know with their word of knowledge gift. In fact, from 2 Kings 4, Elisha was perceptive and knew the Shunammite woman was in distress, but then he said, "The Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." It seems Elisha was oddly surprised the Lord didn't give him a heads up to what was going on. No one person can know it all, so it's okay to say, "I don't know." Really, it is. Most all the time, there is no buzz or flashing light that signals us when the Lord gives us knowledge. There will be times in your life God will give you knowledge, and chances are good you won't recognize it as a word of knowledge. Some folks just want to partition gifts off, like saying, "Oh, now I'm operating in the gift of healing, and now I'm exercising prophecy, and now I'm using the gift of knowledge." Come on, man. Relax and do what's in front of you. Just breathe and flow in the Holy Spirit. Many times, I'm not really aware the Lord has shown me something until after it happens. Just relax, breathe, and go with the flow. It'll all work out just fine.
Clear-eyed insight.
I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts. Cool jazz and contemplative conversations speaking to us all about 3 inches below the surface of our presentation face. Broadcast semi-live from the late evening banks of the Ocklawaha River, deep and cool, steady and refreshing, where the trees lean over the river's edge, and every evening is pleasant. Support for this program is from Living in His Name Ministries, the Mebbin Freedom League with Alan, Kevin, and Tommy. And don't forget Molly, she's a good one, a real keeper, that one. Additional support is from His Heart Missions, Sisters Coffee Company, Freeman Newsstand, and, of course, Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Music is by Michael Borslap, Joe Farrell, Joe Beck, Josh Stefan, Mark Egan, Mike Stern, and the Esbjorn Svensson Trio. All music use is licensed through BMI. We can't find the Lord by some intellectual determination. The knowledge of God comes only and solely as a result of a revelation of the Holy Spirit. We think spiritual gifts happen in a supernatural way with a boom and a big splash, and that's just not true. They often happen so naturally, we don't notice the miraculous right in front of us. Let's be open-minded to the Lord, but not so open-minded we are gullible. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, "Though I may have tongues of men and angels, if I don't have love, it is meaningless. Though I have all knowledge and can understand all mysteries, if I don't have love, it's really not profitable." Be strong and courageous this week. Take the time to listen for the Lord. Friends, He will talk to us and tell us stuff if we are willing to come aside with Him. Drive carefully. Be patient and kind. Pray for your neighbor. It really is effective. I'll talk to you next time. Amen and amen.